Going to talk about close encounters of the kingdom kind. Some of you are probably old enough to remember an unusual film in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, I think it was. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which went something like, or something like that, I don't know. That's it, who's that? That's genius, whoever that was brilliant. Well, stop now, I think, this is tremendous. Over Christmas, I was reflecting on encountering Jesus and encountering God. And I was struck by the fact that one of the most extraordinary encounters we come across is this, when the angels appeared to the shepherds. It's quite an important encounter, really, which most of us will never have, thankfully. Because that number of angels shouting at you, do not be afraid, what's the first thing you think of? Be very afraid. This is not what is normal. Stop it. This isn't normal. The rational response of the shepherds would have been to hide, to collapse, to do who knows what. It's beyond our normal world. And the shepherds did what they had to do. They went and had an encounter with the baby Jesus, with Mary, with some animals, some more animals. And then they went back. We're told that their flock was still there. Well, presumably, it hadn't gone off. It might have done. We don't know. But they went back. And apparently, everybody was amazed, it says in Scripture, by the encounter. And when they told everybody about it. I also happen to think it's one of the best excuses for being away from your job ever. Well, it was like this. We were there, and then suddenly angels, and we had to leave. So if ever you're stuck for a good excuse, that's a good one. Encounters with the kingdom of God. Many years ago, I met a man called Art Miller. He's an American chap, and I met him for lunch at a very expensive London restaurant. I'll just blank that for a moment because it's a bit distracting, isn't it? And he was an American guy, and he was using a psychological, psychometric tool that I was interested in my work. And I'd been asked to meet him because I was writing about him for an article in a magazine. During the meeting, it was rather interesting because he turned everything that I'd learned about human beings on its head. Because his view was that most of us have been given a tremendous source of giftedness that's unique that God has given us. And that our challenge in life is to find what that is and give it back to God. And that's the act of worship that we have. And I'd learned a whole load of things in my studies and in my work that was all about people being able to do a whole load of skills and learning and all of this kind of stuff. And he turned it on its head. And towards the end of the lunch, God spoke to me. And he said, if this is an important meeting to you, pay the bill. So I thought, that can't have been God. that was just my human no. And I thought, what do you mean pay the bill? It's a really expensive restaurant in London. Because he was American, he had lots of money. And I didn't. And you know what I thought? Yeah, I thought, I will pay the bill. Because this is an important encounter. So I did. And this was in 92, something like that. It was £100. It was a lot of money in those days. My wife, Caroline, still thinks it is, by the way. There we go. What was interesting is, ever since that day, I've used his particular thinking and his approach in the work I do, which is I do a lot of coaching with people, and probably hundreds and hundreds of people, both with me and him and loads of other people, have been, as it were, touched by this idea that you are who you are and who God made you. And it changed my life, and it changed the way I work. My point is that was a kingdom encounter. There weren't any angels. There weren't any appearances of strange things going on, but it was a bit different. And God did say, do something different. What's your response going to be? So what I thought we would do is have a look at kingdom encounters. So we're going to look at some of these points here. How do we notice what a kingdom encounter is? What do we know about them? How do we respond? Are we able to let them actually interrupt our normal way of thinking? And maybe what about the future? Let's see. So, let's have a look at some kingdom encounters, famous ones from Scripture. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 9. Hoping that's on the slide. There it is. This is a story about a small tax collector. Some of you will remember this. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately, because I'm going to stay in your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter that he had gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. So it's a very well-known passage for many of us. I grew up in Sunday school singing songs about it. Zacchaeus was a very little man, and very little man was he. Something like that, yeah. I should probably think of that in the morning now. I shall have it in my brain overnight. He was a chief tax collector, so he was not a liked man. Hopefully nobody here is a chief tax collector. I think the world has changed a bit. You're not that bad, okay, if you are. We love you, really. Jesus does. He was hated, and everybody knew him. But here's the point. He wanted to see Jesus. That's the important verb. He wanted to see Jesus. He was very open and curious. He was ready for an encounter. And he was determined to find a way of doing it. He didn't have any idea how it would unfold, but he climbed the tree anyway. Now, if you climb a tree, most people will see you. So he was apparent. He was obvious. He couldn't be lost in the crowd. He was up a tree. So he's already stepped out of a comfort zone for him. And of course, Jesus notices him and invites himself to dinner. At this point, Zacchaeus is thinking, what have I got in the fridge? Is this going to work? But Jesus simply overrides any plans that Jesus might have had. He had a schedule. He was walking through, and suddenly he says to all his people, no, I'm not. I'm going to have dinner with a tax collector. So imagine what's going through Zacchaeus' mind and his heart. The first thing he thinks of, possibly, I don't know, is that this is not normal. This is an illogical thing. It shouldn't be done. The rules say no. People don't have meals with tax collectors. We know this because the people all muttered. This was the normal thing. You do not go and eat with a tax collector. But at the same time, he's thinking, but Jesus has noticed me. At that point, he has a choice. He has a moment of choice. He could run away. He could hide. He could say, no, nothing in the fridge. Sorry, can't come. But his response was to stay curious, to be with it, to go with his gut, just to go. He didn't know, clearly, the Holy Spirit was moving him perhaps at that time. We don't know what went on at the meal. By the way, Jesus uses mealtimes a lot for encounters if you read scripture. So if ever you're having meals with people, notice what's going on. They're often very, very important moments. But Zacchaeus' response was remarkable. And it was not normal. It was a kingdom response. I will give everything that I have to the poor. I will give a lot of what I have to the poor. And I will repay people I've cheated four times. And Jesus says, salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus' response is unexpected by most people. And it's life-changing. Changed his life. We don't know what happened after that. But one thing's for certain, if you're a tax collector and you start giving away money, people are going to be surprised. And people are going to start asking questions. So it's a story about a simple thing that goes on, and it's an encounter. And it's an encounter that reveals some of the things about the way the kingdom meets us, where Jesus meets us. Let's look at another one. This is also, it's very small, I hope you can read that. If you can't, you listen to it. This is from Acts, chapter 8, 26 to 40. Slightly unusual encounter, this one. This is about Philip, who's one of the early apostles, has been around since Jesus' death. And an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandaki, which means the Queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless somebody explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And this is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? And the eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? So Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, oh look, here's some water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. But he went on his way rejoicing. It's a great exit, isn't it? So what do we know? Just before that chapter, we read a little bit more about Philip, and he's already preaching the good news. He's doing amazing things. He's healing people, delivering demons, and there is great joy in the city where he's working. So a couple of things to notice here. There's a couple of encounters, one for Philip and one for the eunuch. Philip recognizes the Spirit is working, and he recognizes the voice of God. He's trusting it. He's going with it. He's doing great things already. And then he has an encounter. An angel, probably just one, not a host. I love it when the scripture says, and an angel spoke to him. You know, is that a person? Is it? Who knows? We don't know. What we do know is he responds and he says, okay, I will go. And he meets this important Ethiopian man. He knows he's important because he's very rich. And he's an Ethiopian Jew. So he's been to Jerusalem to worship, and Philip has kind of made some connections here, thinking, this is an interesting kind of guy. And Philip is buzzing. He's on fire at this point, and the Spirit prompts him to run to the carriage and listen, which he does. Interesting enough, apparently in those days, people used to read out loud. It's good for us. Actually, last week we heard about writing down scripture. I recommend you read it out loud as well. Not in public as much, because you'll be regarded as strange if you start doing it on the train or something like that. But at home, by all means, do. But this guy was reading it out loud. And the important thing is he meets the Ethiopian where he is. He meets him in his carriage, on his terms, and he answers his questions. He doesn't stand there saying, let me tell you. No. He meets him where he is. And at the place in the journey where he is. That's interesting. God plucked him out and said, go to him. And on his way back to where he comes from, he is met. And of course, the Ethiopian has an encounter. He's very open. He's curious. Notice he asks the question. He has no idea what's happening next, but his response is very real, very dramatic. I want to be baptized here and now. As Captain Spock would say, it's quite illogical. Not as illogical as what happens next. Because Philip is then transported just away. But the eunuch goes on his way rejoicing because his life is changed forever. Interesting enough, not just his life, but the world, because Ethiopia becomes a hotbed of Christianity in the early years. Much of it may have been down to him. We don't know. Two encounters, and there are many, many, many more. I just picked those two. So, when we have a sermon like this, we can read the scripture and we can all sit very comfortably. Are you sitting comfortably? As they used to say, then I shall begin. But no, make the most of it because you just never know when you might get an encounter. What do we know about kingdom encounters? Just from this and other things. Let me see if this works. There we go. They can happen anytime, anywhere. Oh, there we go. Anytime, anywhere. On the road, just walking along. We don't know. In crowds, on your own. God meets us when he chooses. We can try and manufacture things, and we do. We have meetings like this, and God meets us there. But I also believe God is very much in the business of meeting us where we don't expect it, in unconventional ways. Eating with tax collectors. Calling fishermen. I could have used the healing of a paralyzed man who just came through the roof. You know, slightly unexpected. Things we notice. Truth is present when it's a kingdom encounter. It isn't an egotistical thing. It's truth with a challenge, often. But a challenge that at the time doesn't feel too ridiculous. I do it. I respond. Truth is present. Be wary when there's a big ego present. I've been a Christian a long time, and I've sat in meetings like this where there's been some tremendously, shall we say, charismatic people at the front making very bold promises and bold things. And I'm often struck by, is this your agenda or is it God's agenda? Who knows? But sometimes ego isn't present. Philip was just whisked away. Zacchaeus was a very small man, insignificant in lots of ways. So how do you notice them? We're not all going to be like Philip, wrapped up in healing people and then whisked away. We're not like other people like St. Cuthbert or St. Francis, who spent their lives with animals and in monasteries. Most of us have days that are pretty ordinary. You know, we get up, we have breakfast, we get on a train, or we go to work, or we stay at home, we do the cleaning, we may go out to the shops, these are just ordinary days. And yet God meets us. And here are some things we might notice. Do you know God's voice? What it sounds like? Has he met you before, if you're a Christian? How have you responded? Oh, this sounds familiar. I remember that. So now, for example, when I have dinner in expensive restaurants, I'm on my guard. True, because you never know. How has God met you before? What's happening in your emotional spirit? This is where the spirit happens, by the way. When it says, you know, God speaks to people, it's not writing in the stars. Sometimes it is. But sometimes it can be a quickening. You think, actually, I feel something here. I feel an emotional reaction here. I'm excited. I'm nervous. I'm curious about what's going on. And then responses are key about kingdom encounters. And I want to draw a bit of a contrast between worldly and kingdom encounters here. Worldly responses are often rules-based. They're often, this is how things are done, logical, rational. This is how, we shouldn't be doing this. The angels don't come, we don't do this. This is what the world wants us to do. And that's fine. We live our lives with those sort of rules most of the time. Kingdom responses are often about amazement, rejoicing, life-impacting, and there's fruit when there's a kingdom encounter. There's often people go and tell people about it, and they were amazed. The people were amazed about what they heard, what they saw. Interesting enough, it can also be a world response is often fearful. There's a Bible passage where Jesus casts out a demon from a young man and sends it to pigs, and pigs go off over the cliffs, and that's the end of the story. But the people are so worried and so fearful, they ask him to leave. Many years ago, I was at a Bible festival, and Mel will know of this organization. This was the Dales Bible Week in the 80s. It was a massive hall, 5,000 people. I was there with Caroline and a friend of mine, and apparently angels visited the place. All I know is it was so loud and there was such a lot of noise, I was terrified. And I left because I couldn't deal with it. But apparently, Bob Mumford was speaking at the time, there were angels, visitations and various other things people saw. And I missed it. Because it was a world response for me. This is not normal. I judge the world, I judge kingdom by normal. Maybe not. So, which leads me to, a prop. Star Wars, you remember that? Where is your attention focused? I can't talk with this on, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Where is your attention focused? Earthly and kingdom encounters. Chris spoke a bit about this last week. Earthly encounters, there we go, information, performance, busyness, personal ego, personal agenda, that's our world, isn't it? And that's what occupies our minds a lot of the time. What's on our smartphone, what's the latest social media, what's our performance rating at work, how are we going to get through this schedule because it's so busy? It's as if we're walking around with hoodies on. Because the idea of a hoodie is it's very safe, isn't it? Makes you feel safe. Makes you feel vaguely ridiculous standing here with a hoodie on. But people wear them because they're warm. I wear them when I go out. It's very warm. Safe. But I want you to think about the idea of your world and walking around with a hoodie on all the time. What are you missing? When you walk around with a hoodie on, you have to keep doing this to see anything. And in my case, I have to keep doing this. It's also very hot in this hoodie, by the way. Let's think about kingdom encounters, often illogical, often involving real people, human stories. It's not data, it's not information. That's the world's view. Often responses that are contrary to what we normally expect. And they're Jesus-centered, they're fruitful encounters. So how do you make yourself available for either having kingdom encounters or being the source of a kingdom encounter. Take off the hoodie for a start, or at least pull the hood down. Paul has some nice words to say about this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. So how much of our lives do we spend thinking about the complete opposite of those things? Is our world occupied by those? We need a mind reset, as Chris mentioned last week. I confess, I'm hopeless at this. Sometimes, you know, you get drawn by something that's, well, you know, Netflix, which is a great thriller, and you, before you know it, you're hooked. But it's not particularly admirable or lovely. It hooks us. It hooks our attention. That's the subject of another talk another time. So at least take out some of the negativity if we can, or at least be aware of this as an option we have. So, let's conclude. If this is all new to you, by the way, and you're thinking, what is he on about? You're probably like Zacchaeus. You're probably standing there thinking, this is interesting, I'd like to find out a bit more, I might. You never know, Jesus might be using this as an encounter, or a conversation that you have with somebody later on, today or this week, who knows. But if you're a Christian and you've had encounters of God, then ask yourself, with God, kingdom encounters, ask yourself, okay, how can I step more fully into my identity as an heir to the kingdom and be available, be more curious? Ask, go on asking, be open, be curious. Don't put your hood up and close yourself off to the surprising, which is often what God uses. It might be at a church meeting. It might be just a one-to-one walk with somebody. It might be just on your own and the angel visits you. And do come and tell us if that happens. We'd like that. Please don't feel condemned, by the way, if you don't feel up to this kind of stuff. Because one thing I've learned being Christian for a very long time is that there is no bar that says this is the fail bar. And unless you reach that, you failed. There isn't one. So just be open and be available. And I love the phrase up there that Paul also uses in Ephesians. He says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I think all he's saying to us is there is just be ready. Take off the hoodie and allow yourself to be used or to be encountered with. And you just never know. Who knows? You might get transported like Philip and not have to go on the trains. So, let me finish there. I'm just going to pray briefly before I hand back to Chris. Father, thank you that your desire is to meet with us, to encounter with us. That's on your heart, Lord. You want to speak with us. You want to meet with us. You want to eat with us, metaphorically. So, Lord, even this, just now, we come against any feeling of being condemned or not being good enough. And, Lord, we simply ask that you speak to our spirits, speak to our hearts, and help us to leave this place feeling that you have asked us and invited us to be people who can encounter you and be people who bring you in encounters with others that we have. Thank you, Lord. Amen.